Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares part of the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council and Town Administration personnel, the police retirement and promotion individuals, along with their guests and family members, were in the council chambers. Some members of the public participated in person, some via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I've split the almost three-hour meeting into three logical segments. First covers the opening of the meeting, the citizens' comments, and then the recognition of Priscilla Cornetta, and the promotions of the three police department individuals. Approximately 51 minutes in that segment. The second segment covers the Old South Meeting House discussion, and then the one subcommittee report of the EDC Plus Committee, approximately 42 minutes. Third covers the legislation for action, the council comments, and the public meeting closes with the council entering executive session, not to return to open meeting. That runs about an hour and 14 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. So let's listen to this segment of the town council meeting of February 2nd, 2022.
Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the February 2nd, 2022 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Announcements from the chair. All citizens are now welcome to attend public board and committee meetings in person. Additionally, in an effort to maximize citizen engagement opportunities, you will be able to continue to participate remotely via phone or Zoom using the provided phone number, or you may click the Zoom link that is on the posted agenda and on the town's website. That phone number is 929-205-6099 and enter the meeting ID number, which is 898-2200-4377. Again, the meeting ID is 898-2200-4377, and then hit the pound sign. The attached link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions and or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. Town Council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the Town Administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Mr. Johnson, you had your hand up first. Please just name and address, please.
James C. Johnston, Jr., 789 West Central Street, Franklin, Massachusetts. Mr. Chairman, members of the council, 1.5 years ago, in the hot summer of 2020, when the air conditioning was not operating, was the last time I have the privilege of appearing in the same room as the body. I did not attend the meeting officially. I gave two rooms to the 35,200 citizens of the town of Franklin for display in the Franklin Historical Museum, and they were accepted by the town council. The first of these rooms was formally dedicated on Thursday, July 15th, 2021. It is called the Clara J. Foss Johnston Memorial Federal Parlor at the Oliver Pond House and is furnished in federal period antiques and artifacts of the 1790 to 1825 period. It can be seen on your computer by Googling the Clara Johnston Room at the Franklin Historical Museum in an excellent film format produced through the most professional talents of Chris Flynn. The second room given was the James C. Johnston Senior Keeping Room, which clearly shows what the principal family gathering spot of an early American house would look like in the town of Franklin, covering the period of 1690 to about 1825, with its authentic period furnishings. As I have stated, I have been working on this project since the Franklin Town Council accepted this gift on behalf of the citizens of Franklin a year and a half ago. Imagine my surprise when I received the following short email just 11 days ago on Saturday, January 22nd, 2022, from the chairman of the Franklin Historical Commission, Mary Olson. It reads, "Dear Jim, Happy New Year. I hope that you are staying safe and healthy. I have some news that I know you will not be pleased with. At our last commission meeting, the commission members expressed concern over giving up more exhibit space to the permanent exhibit. Their concern is that the museum is small with limited space as it is, and they don't feel it would be right to give up another room. Everyone agrees that the room dedicated to your mother is beautiful, and I know you were at the point where you were ready to move ahead, so I apologize for the abrupt news and short notice. I hope that this doesn't put you off your willingness to continue to make appearances and present your valuable historical talks at the museum. I can only hope that's the case. Please reach out with any questions, feedback, frustration, etc. I'm sorry. My best to you, Mary." This was sent to me from the Franklin Historical Museum, as was, I presume, to be an official communication. The exhibits which I donated to the town of Franklin's Historical Museum were donated to the 35,200 citizens of this community in perpetuity as a permanent exhibit, which was to be an educational tool calculated to last for a long time, long after I and members of the Franklin Historical Commission are only dust. This gift is an opportunity to view, educate, and appreciate that may never be offered again to this community. You can see a catalog of the donations featured in the keeping room, as well as the floor plan to the room and the packet of material which I have given you. I'm also increasingly aware of my own mortality. Yesterday, for the first time ever, a friend referred to me as an old man. Can you imagine? Of course, I was shot. The horror.
Hope you call the police.
I should have called. Hey, why didn't you do something? But the reality is I am an old man. I'm sorry, but that's the fact of life. After I'm dead, demoralized and deep-hearted, I won't be giving away any gifts of whole furnished rooms to the town of Franklin because I shall be otherwise engaged. So I would appreciate it if you good people of the Franklin Town Council take this matter of the keeping room under advisement and inform me in due time as to what your pleasure might be in regards to this gift which I have given to the town. I think that it is in the enlightened best interest of the whole Franklin community that my gift be accepted and displayed in the space which has already been made for it in the museum, in the Franklin Historical Museum, by the town's Department of Buildings and Grounds. It's been all prepared. It's done. It's a fait accompli. The room has, in fact, been made ready according to my suggestion and even to the choice of color and design. By the way, the space involved in the keeping room display only takes up an area of 85 to 90 square feet. That's it, more or less. You will see it in the packet I gave you regarding the keeping room. Thank you for your kind attention. And I did add in my remarks here, this is a roadmap to my mind so I don't go straying up. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But I understand that that's not the appropriate thing at this point. I thank you very much for your kind attendance.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please come forward. Just identify yourself with name and address, please.
Good evening. My name is Pamela Young, and I am a lifelong resident of Franklin, residing at 59 West Street. Before I start, I would like for you to answer a few questions truthfully. Would you like to smell marijuana in and around your home on a daily basis? Would you like for your family and friends to have to park streets away when they come to visit you or attend a family gathering at your home? Would you like to be woken up two or three times a night in the early morning hours to very loud music? Would you like to walk out your front door and find people sleeping in their cars? Would you like to find a spot to place your trash bins on trash day when they're to be empty? If you would answer no to any of these questions, then you can sympathize with us, the residents that live on East, West, Mason Street, Church, and Walnut Ave. This and more is what are we living with on a daily basis with Dean students parking on our streets in front of our homes. We buy our homes for the same reason as you do. We love the town and location. Yes, our neighborhood is near Dean College, and Dean and our neighborhoods have been existing together for many years, and this problem has never occurred until back in 2015. I came before the town council in March of 2017 when we had about 50 cars parking along our streets. It then included Union Street at the time. Our town administrator had installed parking spaces, 2-hour 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday parking signs. Unfortunately, this solution has not worked. The signs are not monitored on a daily basis, and Dean students not only keep their cars in the same spot for days at a time, they also create their own illegal spaces, and students don't seem to care if their car is even ticketed. Back in 2021, I had written to Senator Karen Spilka. Someone from her office called me back and said since Dean is a private college, she could not help us, but did say that our town administrator, town council, and Dean could all work together and resolve this issue. They told me that Framingham University had the same problem in their residential areas which abutted the university. The town installed signs saying no student parking. Framingham University security would monitor and see if any students were parking on the residential streets. They would notify the students that their car needed to be moved or their car would be towed. They said this approach seemed to work. Is this something that can be done here? If we do not do anything, it'll be the same problem year after year. We will have more and more students parking along the streets and the public would have no place to park. During the Harvest Festival, there were only a handful of spaces for folks to park. The rest were occupied Dean students in our neighborhood. We are desperately seeking your help to resolve the parking issue. We know and understand that these are public streets, but where is the public to park when Dean students take up 90% of the parking spaces? The weekends are worse as their visitors park in those spaces as well, so now all the spaces are taken up. What happens if there's an emergency? Franklin has had the misfortune lately of many home fires. If a home on Church Ave were to end up in flames like the home on Dean Ave did, it would be a real disaster. Emergency personnel would have to work around the cars that line up Church Ave. It would be a mess at least and could result in loss of life. Please review the petition which has been signed and handed to you by the residents living on these streets. We would like to see if we can install the no student parking signs and have Dean security monitor. Dean security cruises these streets on a daily basis and they know which cars belong to the students. So please consider our petition. We know there is much more going on in the world today, But these are our homes. We are the residents of Franklin, and we feel that we live on Dean College campus. Please do not let the Dean students take over our neighborhoods. Dean College has a parking lot on Route 140 that isn't even full. These students should be parking there. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Not that you need any introduction.
Well,
but if you...
thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, council members. Thank you for having me. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Nancy Danello, and I'm your town clerk. I just have a few updates from the clerk's office. First, I want to remind the residents of Franklin that your annual dog license is up for renewal. There are several ways that you can renew the dog's license or your pup's license. You can go online by logging on to franklinma.gov, navigating to the town clerk's department, and then pay bills online. Or just come in and see us, visit us. Say hi, get out of the house. We all need to. Or you can obviously wait until you receive your town census, and the dog registration form will be attached to it. Town census. It's late this year. It's late because of the addition of the 9th precinct. The state had to update the system. I'm hoping to have that census out by the end of February. Deb, you especially know it is late. Usually you would have it by mid-January. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, the end of February. Don't hold me to it. Maybe Jeff can light a fire under. Thank you. And that's it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Nancy. I think there was one more. Please, just name and address, please.
Hi, Jane Calloway Tripp, 607 Maple Street. I'm actually going to further what Pam was saying with the Dean students parking. Let's do one thing. When you are a student at Dean, the only right you have as a student is the right to that education. Everything else is a privilege. Dean School has multiple parking lots throughout the town that residents of this town cannot park in because you will be towed. I know this because my son went to an EMT class at Dean and I didn't have a sticker, and I pulled into the parking lot to pick him up. And I was told I needed to move from the parking lot because otherwise I would get ticketed and towed. And I moved, but we can't use their parking lots. The street parking is for residents, not for Dean students. Parking overnight, parking over the 2 hours, leaving your car there for days is unacceptable. There is a very good, simple solution, but it would require that the town, council, administrator, our police, and Dean work together. You know which cars are Dean students because they have Dean stickers. So they park and they get a ticket. Dean gets notified. Second time, they get towed. If it's a third time, Dean can revoke the right to have car privileges at the school. Most colleges don't allow freshmen to have cars on campus. Well, there's no rule saying that you can't revoke the car privileges from the sophomores, seniors, or juniors of this college if they can't follow the rules. The rule is you park in Dean parking lot, not in the streets, and leave your car there. You're a college student between the ages of 18 and 20. Chances are you can walk a block if you have to from your car to your campus, to your dorm, wherever. You have elderly people living on these streets that might not be able to walk past the curb, and they shouldn't have to. They shouldn't have to worry about their trash not getting picked up because people are parked where they're not supposed to and the trash trucks can't get to their trash. They shouldn't have to worry about trying to get their trash cans back to their house because there's cars blocked there. They shouldn't have to deal with people sitting out in front of their house, smoking pot, listening to the music. They have spent their whole life now. This is time for them to have some peace, and sitting in their home should be peaceful. So there is a solution, but it does require everybody working together. And as a town council and town administrator and our lovely police officers, the residents of this town should matter more than the dean students, because we're the ones that pay all your salaries, elect you into those seats, and fund this entire town. Dean students don't have the right to do what they want. They have the right to an education. Everything else is a privilege. Privileges can be taken away. If they can't abide by the rules, then it's time for Dean to step up and take away the privileges of these students.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Please, just come forward, name and address, please.
James McLaughlin, 27 Church Avenue, Franklin. You'll have to bear with me, I'm not into this stuff here. But I do have to say something. I can't get to my house most of the time. I can't have any company, easy access to my front door. My house is on the corner of Church Avenue and West Street. Probably no one's front line with the Battle of Dean and the parking, trash, and drinking, smoking. Not too many years ago, Dean had their own police force. What happened to that police force? When they were there, there was little or no problem with the parking, et cetera. Now the Franklin Police Department has to take over the policing of the area at the taxpayers' expense. They've got better things to do than to babysit the students. Plus, you have to call every day if you don't, they won't think that there's a problem anymore about the parking. I seldom see a ticket on automobiles towing. Forget about it. Bear with me, I'm not used to this stuff. I guess you can't blame the students. They think or told it's okay to park on the street. After all, they can't drink, smoke, show trash out the window, or carry on the campus parking lots. But you'd think they would have a little common sense and respect for their neighbors. What about the kids going to and from school? Is this something they should be looking at? I think the big problem is, I have down here the boss of Dean and the boss of Franklin. I guess that's the administrator Franklin. But their kids don't live here, so it's not their problem. All they have to do is say enough is enough. It wasn't like this before, and there's no need to be like this now. I may have a heart attack in a minute now. I'm not kidding. I had a tenant move in March of 2012. He had to move out in September of 2017. He'd be walking his dog with his daughter after work. He'd get in arguments with the students about his dog having to walk over their broken bottles, and his daughter seeing all this happen isn't a good influence. I thought I was alone with this problem. So I got a leaflet from the neighbors, and we started coming down here and trying to make sense of this tomfoolery here. We had meetings at the neighbors' houses, and I thought things sounded good. So I let my tenant out of his lease early, and I thought I'd do, it'd do no good to keep him there if he doesn't want to live there. If he's not happy, it's not going to help me either. So I decided to spruce up my house. Well, I'm still working, making a little money. I make less money. I bring home less money than people did during this COVID thing on unemployment. And I'm still able to work and get it done. I'm not getting any younger. I'm Jimmy Johnson's age. That's a waste of speaking. Little did I know that it was just about impossible to get lumber delivered in a dumpster because of the parking problem. You can't boom over the cars, and you can't block the street. So I had to have the lumber dropped at one end of the building while the work is on the other end of the building. It's not the best way to work. We met at the town hall, but not much help from the parking. They painted lines on the street, again, at the taxpayer's expense. Church Animal got 3 spaces. There's still 4 being used. It used to be 6. It still is. You can't use it yourself. West Street got 1. Usually there was 2 or 3 there. Now there's only 1 or 2. Maybe that's good. But remember, I'm in the front lines. It's spread out. Mason Street sometimes doesn't have any parking out there. I mean, nobody parking there. Used to be 2. Where am I? 4. Well, at the same time, all this is going on, I had a large tree come down to my house and took out my electric. Do you think I could get any of the vehicles moved? Absolutely not. You get a bucket in? No, I had to drive on top of the lawn, sunk in, still trying to get the thing fixed now. Maybe we'll have a little more water this spring. I'll be able to get the grass growing again there.
I need to get you to finish up. You're allowed 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'll go through this quickly.
Okay.
I had a cookout. My aunt came. She was born 1926. She had to park up at the end of West Street, right next to 140. I had to walk all the way down the street, down Church Ave, up the street, up my stairs, and fell in through the door. I don't think that's really... They should be having to walk that far. Not a single person could park at the house.
Sir, I have to get you to finish up.
Yeah, you're lucky, please. I guess, because I'd like to have a heart attack. Yeah.
Don't want you to do
it's
that.
It's a big problem with the parking.
We certainly have received that.
No, it goes on and on and on about what I can do and what I can't do, even with the storm here. I thought Dean was going green when the parking lot was empty. And I thought maybe they're going to start busing people like they bust me to work before, but they didn't go green. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Is there anyone out in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Alicia, I don't see anyone. Do you? Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Entertain a motion to approve the minutes from January 19th, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion, additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is proclamations and recognitions. And the first one this evening, we have a proclamation for Priscilla Canetta, Friends of Franklin. Priscilla, I know.
Is here?
Yeah. See if I can do it justice.
Tonight, we're recognizing Priscilla Canetta, who started the Friends of Franklin over 42 years ago. And just as a lead-in, I just want to thank Roberta Trahan and Samantha Jetty for providing the information that we needed to get this proclamation done. Volunteering your time to support a cause, Priscilla is certainly passionate about this gift. One of the things I did was I looked up 2 or 3 quotes that I thought really exemplified what had been done here over the last 40 years. And the first one is, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. That was Mother Teresa. Another one is, you give but little when you give of your possessions. It's when you give of yourself that you truly give. That was a Chinese prophet. And the last one is, there could be no definition of a successful life that does not include service to others. And I think Priscilla certainly exemplifies that. Tonight I'll read from a proclamation, Town of Franklin Proclamation, honoring Priscilla Canetta on a legacy of philanthropic achievement. Whereas Priscilla Canetta founded the Friends of Franklin at Christmas time in 1979, when she, along with her husband Richard and their village of friends, filled holiday baskets with food and necessities and delivered them to 8 local families in need. And whereas with the creation of the Friends of Franklin, many people received critical assistance at a time when resources were not easily accessible, and over time, countless others were provided a means by which they could give back to their community by volunteering their time and resources to help their neighbors. And whereas, under the leadership of Priscilla Canetta, the Friends of Franklin thrived in the 42 years of its existence, growing in every way, from the number of volunteers to fill and deliver baskets, to the number of local businesses that donated goods and services, to the number of families served each year, a number which grew to surpass 200, to the types of charities, services provided, which grew to include the collection and delivery of Christmas gifts to local children and year-round assistance with bills, rent, groceries, housing, and medical expenses for local families. And whereas after 42 years of tremendous leadership, generosity, and kindness, at the helm of the organization, Priscilla made the difficult decision to close the Friends of Franklin in 2021. And whereas the citizens of Franklin extend their heartfelt gratitude to Priscilla Canetta, her family, of which a lot are here tonight, and the Friends of Franklin for their tireless efforts in helping people in need, building a stronger community, and demonstrating what it means to care for one's neighbors. Now, therefore, be it known that Priscilla Canetta is hereby commended and recognized by the Town Council of the Town of Franklin for the creation of the Friends of Franklin and 42 years of philanthropic achievement. Signed, Thomas D. Mercer, Chairman, Franklin Town Council. Call to the State House and ask our good friend, Representative Jeff Roy.
Right. Well, thank you, Priscilla. I'm amazed. You started this at 2 years old. Amazed. I'd like to know how you managed that. But congratulations, and it's truly an honor to be here to present these resolutions to you from the House of Representatives. And I know that Chairman Mercer started with a quote, but I want to use a quote from our great public servant, Horace Mann, who was the father of public education, who, as you know, was born here in Franklin, and he admonished us to work tirelessly to win some victory for humanity. And from what I have seen, from what you have done, you have won many victories to humanity, lifted many hearts of people and thousands of children and families. And I'm just dying to know what you're going to do with the next week. So, and I checked. I'm delighted that our language is different, so I can read the resolution.
Excellent.
Now, this is a resolution honoring Priscilla Cornetta for her charitable contributions to the town of Franklin. So resolutions are actually a piece of legislation that I filed and is heard on the House floor. This was heard on the House floor on January 31 of 2022. And take comfort in knowing that the vote was unanimous. Whereas the dedicated and esteemed Priscilla Cornetta is being honored and recognized for her charitable contributions to the town of Franklin as one of the founding members of the Friends of Franklin, and will be honored for her outstanding service by the town council, her family, and friends on February 2nd, 2022. And whereas during the Christmas season in 1979, Priscilla Cornetta, at the behest of St. Mary's priest, Father Clyde Chepman, did I read that right? Did I pronounce it right? Graciously and selflessly created holiday baskets and for eight families in financial distress. And whereas Priscilla Cornetta and her friend Joan Dunn realized that there were many families indeed and created the Friends of Franklin, a charitable concern that provided food and gift baskets to families on the holidays, as well as year-round assistance with bills, rent, groceries, and medical expenses. Priscilla and Joan reached out to the community for donations and were met with overwhelming generosity, which allowed them to serve more than 200 families. And whereas the Friends of Franklin operated for over 40 years and went on to feed, assist, and even provide Christmas presents to those in need in the town of Franklin, filling a need at a time when there was no other organization in town. Therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Massachusetts House of Representatives hereby join with the town of Franklin, family, and friends, and that joyous child of theirs, offering best wishes for her good health and continued happiness as she embarks on new journeys, endeavors, and goals of fulfillment. And be it further resolved that a copy of these resolutions be forwarded by the Clerk of the House of Representatives to Priscilla Cornetta. It's adopted January 31, 2022, signed by Ronald Mariano, the Speaker of the House, Stephen T. James, the Clerk of the House, and myself, whose great honor it is to be your state representative. And as instructed by the clerk, I'm going to transfer these resolutions to you. So thank you. Token of appreciation, and it's a real token. Don't use it at street. But thank you and congratulations, and let us know what you're doing with the next 40.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda is recognition and promotions. Chief. Funny, you're back again.
Jim, yeah, I told you you're going to be seeing a lot of me. So, yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. So 2 weeks ago, it was my pleasure to have several individuals that I recognized that retired. Tonight, we're going to, due to some of those retirements, we have several people that are now being promoted to fill some of those slots. In 2 weeks, I will then come in with the new people that are new hires that we were able to do in which is a great thing, because for the first time in about 5.5 years, we'll be at full staff as of the 14th of February, which works out really well. Without further ado, so like I said, we have several promotions. These individuals all have worked very hard to be where they are, not only in the years of service that they put in and their daily tasks, showing leadership, dedication, et cetera, but also the process to get here is not easy. They had to go through for some of them written exams, for all of them an assessment center, very stressful time, as they would all tell you, and then a panel interview, and they rose to the top at one point or another during that, and it's my pleasure to be able to bring them up here tonight and tell you how they got here, have their family come up and pin their new badge on, and they'll be sworn in again, and due to the gravity of it, I'm gonna have them come up one at mm-hmm. a time.
Absolutely.
Sergeant
Kowalki? I don't blame
you. It's Bob and the Chief. All right, so this is Michael Kowalki. being promoted to sergeant. Michael's been a member of the Franklin Police Department since 2015 after graduating first in his class in academics. And I checked that. It is true. From the 3rd MPTC recruit officer class at the Randolph Police Academy, he has a Bachelor of Arts degree in criminal justice from the University of South Carolina Upstate. And in 2020, received his master's degree in organizational leadership from Nichols College. Those are his kids. Prior to joining the FPD, Michael served 4 years with the United States Air Force as a member of the security forces stationed at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, attaining the rank of sergeant, now he's got the stripes back again, prior to his honorable discharge. Since 2019, Michael has been assigned as a detective in the Department's Specialized Services Division with the primary role of investigating narcotics-related crimes and assisting those in need of services. Michael has been instrumental with the implementation of the Norfolk County Critical Incident Management System, which was designed to track overdose-related cases throughout the county, so those suffering from substance abuse disorders may receive follow-up interviews in an effort to provide them resources and assist them in the recovery process. Michael has conducted a majority of those interviews, often accompanied by our clinician, and has worked very closely with the SAFE Coalition. He has been a member of the Norfolk County Police Anti-Crime Task Force, otherwise known as NORPAC, established to facilitate a multi-agency approach to drug enforcement throughout the northern region of Norfolk County, as well as the investigation of organized crime, serial crime, violent crime, and crimes committed by traveling criminals. He has specialized training in street-level narcotics, crime scene investigation, interview and interrogation. Michael is also a certified drug recognition expert. Gives me great pleasure to promote Michael Kalecki to the rank of sergeant, and I'd like to invite his family, Jackie, his wife, and his daughters, Natalie and Mila, and his badge.
I want to see her hold both kids and pin the badges.
And then she deserves it. And then she deserves the stripes. Hey, nice job.
All right.
It's such an honor. Remember the first week you started to stop me? Just kidding. Michael, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand. Repeat after me, okay? I'm Michael Kalecki.
I'm Michael Kalecki.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To faithfully execute the duties.
As sergeant.
For the town of Franklin.
The town of Franklin.
With respect.
Integrity
and excellence,
and
to uphold the mission of the department,
the Constitution of the United States of America,
the state of Massachusetts,
and
the laws and ordinances
of
the town of Franklin. So help me God.
Continue, Chief.
Yeah. Zimmerman. Lieutenant Zimmerman is being promoted from sergeant to lieutenant. Lieutenant Zimmerman, his career in law enforcement has spanned the past 23 years. He's been with the Franklin Police Department for the past 15 years, joining the FPD in 2007 after previously serving with the North Attleboro PD for 8 years as both a dispatcher and patrol officer. Eric served for 8 years in the Patrol Operations Division, where he became a field training officer and the coordinator of our mobile data terminal program. In 2015, he was transferred to the Specialized Services Division as a detective, where he excelled at leading intricate and lengthy criminal investigations. After briefly serving as a detective, he was promoted to the rank of sergeant in 2016. For the past 6 years, utilizing his vast knowledge and experience, Sergeant Zimmerman has excelled as a first-line supervisor, providing leadership, mentoring, and coaching to both new and veteran officers. Due to his superior leadership style, he was requested and accepted the responsibility of directing and managing the field training program and the onboarding of new police officers joining the department. The field training program is the most important field training officers, training with an experienced field training. Field training program is the most important training a new officer will receive. The 13 weeks of one-on-one training with an experienced field training officer is the foundation a new officer will build on throughout the 30-plus year career. Sergeant Zimmerman reviewed the program, made necessary changes and adjustments to ensure the program was efficient and successful. His leadership of this program could not have come at a more opportune time, as he has been responsible for onboarding 25 police officers in the last 5 years. He's providing a legacy of well-trained and superior officers at the FPD that will span the next few decades. Eric has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Worcester State College, a master's degree in public administration from Anna Maria College, and is a graduate of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, Suffolk University, certificate in local government leadership and management. It is my pleasure to promote Eric Zimmerman to the rank of lieutenant and assign him to lead the Specialized Services Division. Eric will be pinned by his wife, Amy, and his sons, Declan and Roman.
No blood, yeah.
Little blood's all right. Little blood.
Black and white show.
Good shirt.
It's Man of Steel. Do solemnly swear to faithfully execute the duties as lieutenant for the town of Franklin with respect, integrity, and excellence, and to uphold the mission of the department, the Constitution of the United States of America, the state of Massachusetts, and the laws and ordinances of the town of Franklin. So help me God. Congratulations.
Still your floor, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the last one.
Certainly not least,
yes. Deputy Chief West.
Not sure what it is, but
so I'm going to say about it.
You know, the mic was that far off a little bit. So. Deputy Chief James West began his law enforcement career at an early age. During high school, he joined the Law Enforcement Explorer program with the United States Customs Service at Logan Airport in Boston. After high school, he joined the U.S. Army Reserves, where he graduated as a distinguished honor graduate of infantry basic training. After basic training, he became a Winthrop Auxiliary Police Officer, and he worked as a Boston Special Police Officer. He became a reserve officer in Winthrop in 1996, and in 1998, Jim was hired as a full-time officer with the Winthrop Police Department and went to the 9th MPOC at the Norwood Police Academy. In 2001, Jim transferred to the Franklin Police Department. Jim was promoted to sergeant in 2004 and was a patrol sergeant for 12 years until becoming administrative sergeant in 2016. During his tenure at the Franklin PD, Jim has been a motorcycle officer, firearms and taser instructor, and was instrumental in signing the Honor Guard and Youth Explorer Post. Jim is a former member of the Metropolitan Law Enforcement Council's Special Tactics and Response Division, where he served as a SWAT operator, SWAT element leader, search and rescue manager, and a certified drone pilot. Jim was in charge of a group of one of the first SWAT teams called to Boston after the Boston Marathon bombings and to Watertown to assist in the search for the suspects. In 2017, Jim was promoted to the rank of lieutenant and served as the commander of the Operations Division before being transferred to lead the Specialized Services Division. Jim was also the lead staff instructor at the Boylston Police Academy, where he led a staff of drill instructors who have helped train hundreds of new veteran officers. During his career, Jim has been awarded many citations and awards, including the SWAT Medal of Valor, two Combat Crosses, and Life-Saving Award. Jim has a bachelor's degree in public administration from Southern New Hampshire University. I take great pleasure in promoting Jim West to the rank of Deputy Chief. His son, Robert, and his daughter, Crystal.
To faithfully execute the duties as Deputy Police Chief for the Town of Franklin with respect, integrity, and excellence, and to uphold the mission of the department, the Constitution of the United States of America, the State of Massachusetts, and the laws and ordinances of the Town of Franklin, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Good night, guys.
That's all.
That's it.
I'll see you in 2 weeks with the five new hires.
We're going to take a 2-minute recess.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.